Shavua Tov, and our daf today in Masechet Chagiga is daf Yud. We're holding out the Halakha Mishnah, and let's get right to it. So, you know that we've been talking about the various inyanim of Chagiga, and how it is that we were aimed on the dinim of Chagiga is a little bit far-fetched. So, we're going to discuss today other things that appear to be far-fetched in terms of the learning. But remember that one of our main topics in Masechet Chagiga Bichlal is basically the reconstruction of Har Sinai, which is where we learn, we talk about the original halachas of Re'iyah. And that's where we had the machlokas about whether the oilas that were being brought were oilas Re'iyah. But there was definitely Chagiga, that we know, because it says, Vayishlchu et Na'arei b'nei Yisrael. And this was precisely the moment that Moshe told Paro all along, Yochoguli Bamidbar. So the given is that Har Sinai is Chag, for sure. And that was the reference that Moshe Rabbeinu was told. This is the place where they're going to be Oved Elohim. The Aveda was through Chagiga. And because of that, the reconstruction of Har Sinai, as we've mentioned a number of times, and the elements of how it is that we have access to Torah through Har Sinai are deeply related to Chagiga. Now, it happens to be that Chagiga itself is one of those issues that doesn't seem to be defined very well. It never says anywhere that there is specifically a mitzvah of Chagiga. And because of that, we're after yesterday's Gemara, where we spoke about the interrelationship that we have with various levels of Torah, Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara, and even the levels of Gemara between Shas Bavli and Shas Yerushalmi, and the way that psychologically and mentally we connect to these different levels in different ways, and it causes us great pain when we're unable to complete something on one level and leave it and try something else. We're going to continue in this Mishnah to point out that the way in which we learn out many things in the Torah is very complex, and because of that, it seems to be hanging in the middle of the air with very little to support it. And that's what our Mishnah is going to be about. So now, Heter Nedarim Porchim Bavir, Ve'elam Amashi Yismachu. We have this whole sugya in which there's halachas of being Matir and Neder, and a Chacham can be Matir and Neder. Where the heck does that come from? It doesn't say it anywhere in the Torah, does it? So, I mean, like, how could we take a deraisa and say, well, you know, it's okay if you are going to be matir the neder, when that is not what the pasuk addresses at all, even, apparently, even beremes. Then there are other things. I mean, these things are like hanging in the middle of the air. Porchim b'ed is flying through the air without anything to settle on. Hilchot Shabbat, Chagigot. Now, this was a mission that obviously had to do with all of these sugyas, lists Chagiga in it. We therefore put it here in the Seder of the Mishnah. Rebbe put it specifically into Masechet Chagiga because of the issues that I just mentioned. So the dinim of Shabbos, the dinim of Chagiga, the various halachas of Me'ila, which we're going to have to zero in on, because there certainly are plenty of things, Hilchot Shabbos, plenty of things that are clear from the Torah. But anyway, on Me'ila's, they are, couldn't say they're flying through the air, but they're like giant mountains that are hanging on a little hair. She mikra mu'at v'alachot merubot. I mean, we take a little bit of something in the Torah, and because of that, we like, whew, this thing becomes a major mountain of sugyas, and is very, very complex, and we don't seem to have all that much to hang it on, except a little tiny hair, so to speak, because there's very little data in the Torah itself, and yet a tremendous amount of halachas that emerge from it. There are other sugyas, like dinim, the avedais, the tireis, tumeis, arayais. Those are all things that have a lot of material, and even what we learn out from them, yeshlei mamashiyismach, they certainly have what to rest on. Ve'hein ein gufei Torah. Now, what it seems to be saying is that those things, meaning only the latter things, are the main body of the Torah. Now that is drastically awful. It's like, how would a Mishnah ever say, you know, well, the rabbis really don't know what they're talking about, and you can't really trust them. You know, the things that are written and that have a lot, that's gufei Torah. In the end, the Gemara is going to come out that the meaning of hein is not hein, it's rather hein vehein. In other words, both of them are just as much the guf haTorah as the other. Tanya, Rabbi Yezer Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, I beg to disagree. Well, what do you mean, Eilem HaMashi Yisbuch? Heter Nedarim flying through the air. I mean, that's very exaggerated. I can give you an indication from the pasuk, and you'll see that yesh lemamash yisbechom. There's certainly a remez, at least, to say that they're not even included in a hair that they're hanging off of. Look, why does the Torah say ki yafli, and it mentions this ki yafli two different times? Well, we've already defined ish ki yafli, so we have neder be'erkecha. That's at the end of Vayikra. So we have the dinim in Bahar B'chukosai of these halachas. It mentions that the concept of Nedarim, to bring the value that I have in terms of Erechim, which is assigned by the Torah, has to be begetter hafla'ah. And then we have, of course, the main sugya in Matos. Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'amartar layem ish o isha ki yafli lindor neder. Then we get on to this pasuk is actually from Nasei, because we have the getter of Laflia over there, Nasei Lahazir. But the idea in both cases is it doesn't seem necessary to tell me that there's an inyan of hafla if I already explained it once. Hafla means to make something clear, to speak it out. Okay, so why say it twice? So one is hafla'a leheter, one is hafla'a leisur. So what this means is that there is a way in which the creation of the neder is indeed a hafla'a, but there is also another hafla'a, which is a definition that is given by the Chacham, in which he can proclaim, so to speak, make something stick out in the world. This getter of hafla is something that we've spoken about in the Nedarim. It's not for us to discuss over here, but it certainly has to do with the nature of speech and the way that speech makes something exist in the world that didn't seem to have something that was there before until the mind formed it. So that's the concept of hafla, something that is beyond our ability to really control and to fully understand where it comes from, how it works, things that are beyond our ability to touch and fully understand. So since it says over here, a hafla twice, we understand one of them to be the getter of the actual explication, so to speak, of the neder. But the other is the fact that when he comes to the Chacham and he is going to now seek a heter for the neder, he needs to restate the hafla. This is the way Rashi understands it. It's his own hafla'ah, not the hafla'ah of the Chacham that changes the status of the original hafla'ah. Okay, that is Rashi's approach, but in any event, it certainly means that there are two occasions in which the hafla'ah could impact the same neder. So that means that there must be a heter, at least as a sar that you can hang it on. Rabbi Yeshua says, I disagree with the Mishnah also. I think yesh lamamal shi yismichu. For another thing, because it says, after all, in Tehillim, which we talk about every Shabbos, from Kabbal Shabbos, Asher nishbati v'apim yivouna menuchati. So Asher nishbati v'apim, what do you mean, in my anger? What's the business about in my anger? Is that important? I mean, the important thing is that I was nishbati, right? The implication is that the api is a description of, well, it was just in my anger. I was really mad. So I was nishba that they wouldn't come into Eretz Yisrael, which is the Pashtus, and I had charata. Tosfos, what do you mean, had charata? They didn't come into Eretz Yisrael. So Tosfos suggests that maybe the understanding of nishbati v'apim yevuna menuchati is a reference to Dor HaMidbar having a chelek in Olam Haba, as the Gemara talks about. So on that, it could be chazar to me. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I use the fact that this was a neder made in anger, and now I can search for hatara, for that neder. So again, there's an indication, at least, that it does matter what the circumstances of making the shvur and the neder was, right? Otherwise, why mention it? So what kind of difference could it possibly make? The only difference it could make is it possible to seek hatara for the neder? Rabbi Yitzchak says, I also feel there's what to rely on over here. You can't call it flying through the air. Yesh lama masha yismachu. And that is basically the sugya that we've been talking about in the past week's parshios, kol nediv libo. The kol nediv libo means that suppose somebody made a neder, that he's going to be bringing a donation to the Beis HaMikdash or whatever, right? So he would only be chayev to actually make that donation if he still is in a state in which his heart is still committed to it. If he no longer feels that level of commitment, so then the mashma'ut is that he wouldn't be chayev. Because otherwise, why tell me kol nediv libo? His heart still has to be in it. Chananya ben Achi Rabbi Yoshua says, I also think it's got what to rely on. Shenemar nishba'ati va'akayma lishmor mishpatei tzidkecha. So here too, David HaMelech says again, I make a shvua and I will keep my shvua. Obviously, we'll keep the shvua. What is that supposed to mean? So nishbati v'kayma means I could have changed my mind by going to a chacham to be matir, but I will not do that. I am not going to seek any way of getting out of the neder. I made it. I made the shvua, and that's what I want to stick with. Otherwise, what's the point? Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Actually, Rav Yehuda says, you know what Shmuel said? I mean, look, I'm generations later. I mean, I can't offer my opinion with all of these people, but I would have said something else. I think it's even better than what they say. If I was there, I would have said to them, oh, come on, man. There's a great explanation which is better than any of yours. Didi Adifa, mine is better, Miditru. Even though they're all Tanoim and I'm only an Amira, I think I have better. Take a look at the pasuk itself that speaks about the whole nature of the iser of being over on a neder, being over on a shvua. What does it say over there? Lo yachel devoro. He does not have a right to make what he said profane. What do you mean he does not have a right? The implication is that it's because it's his statement that he doesn't have a right to change what it is that he said on his own. That's an implication. In other words, once you made this proclamation, so now it's no longer in your hands. You can't just ignore that. Okay, fine, I won't just ignore it. I'll go to a chacham and I'll explain it to the chacham and acherim mechalim lo. Others can tell me that it's mutter to me. This is a very strong implication of the words aval acherim mechalim lo. Others can, in fact, give him a way out. As the Torah is insisting that it's a question of how he relates to what it is that he said. But that doesn't mean that the statement is binding on some objective level. It's binding on the level that it's his statement. So the moment that we give it in the hands of someone else, so we're giving it to the hands of the Chacham, so then it's going to be okay. That, I think, is the best. Omar Rava, man, oh man, every one of those Tanoim I got an answer for. The only one that there's no answer for is Shmuel. Lekulo itlo bircha. It's true that there's a way out of some fundamental flaw in the whole approach, except for Shmuel. And if basically, I'll explain to you why. Let's go through them one by one, okay? Let's take Reb Eliezer. So Reb Eliezer says it's the double mentioning of the concept of hafla'ah. Okay. There is a very simple argument against that, because I may need that for something else entirely. Deal with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda quoted Rabbi Tarfon as saying that in the event, let's say we have a pretty common situation where people have these ridiculous arguments. Okay, so here comes a guy walking down the street. I'm sitting on a park bench with a friend, and we're looking at this guy coming along, and the guy says, if that guy is a nuzzer, I'm a nuzzer. And the other guy says, man, I'll be a nuzzer if he's not a nuzzer. Okay. So then apparently whoever turns out to be right should be the nuzzer. But the halacha is nobody's a nuzzer. You can't make a nazirut like that. You have to know what the heck you're talking about. What do you think hafla'ah means? Doesn't hafla'ah mean a certain clarity, a clear-cut experience? You don't know what you're, I mean, like, what is this? You're making a bet about whether you're going to be a nuzzer. That's not called hafla'ah at all. And therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Tarfon, La'olam, I don't care how it turns out, neither of them are going to be a nuzzer, because this is not called clear. When you said this, I have no idea what it means. You are a nuzzer, you're not a nuzzer, I don't know. So you can't call that Ish Ki Yafli Lindor Neder Nuzzer La'azir, can you? So therefore, forget about that. That's why I need to know that there's a getter of hafla'ah that is more than just saying something, okay? Now let's take Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua said, well, it says, Nishbati ba'api. I mean, do you know whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed his mind? No, you don't know. So it's just as likely that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, look, you better watch out, because if I get mad, you're in big trouble. Maybe that's what it means. So in other words, I swore when I was angry, I'm not going to change my mind. You know, you could have watched out at the beginning. You know, what'd you have to get yourself into this kind of trouble for and lose it all? So when you start up with me, who knows what's going to happen? All right. So then that's also a message. That's an important message. I don't know. I mean, if you had the data, you could tell me. You don't know whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu had charot or not, right? I mean, do you know whether the Dor HaMidbar has the chelek in Olam HaBa or not? I mean, that's a machlokas. I don't know. Go make up your mind from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Okay. Rabbi Yitzchak says, well, it says, kol nadiv libo. Maybe that is just coming to take away from what Shmuel said. Shmuel said that if somebody was gomar belibo, so he had in mind that he's going to give something, he has to be motzi bisvatav. He absolutely is going to be chayev only if he moves his lips. That's what Shmuel says. So therefore comes along the Torah to tell me, no, kol nadiv libo. Even if somebody made a commitment in his heart, that would be sufficient to be machayev. And now Sosis points out, Shmuel agrees that that's true. Because there certainly are cases, like we're talking about, if you're standing in the Azorah and there's a korban that is standing there, you want to bring that korban once you were gomer belibo, that this is going to be kodesh for you, so then it does mean. Shmuel's also made it to that. So, okay, but it could well be that that's what the pasuk is for. And let's take the next case. Hananiah ben Achi Reb Yeshua. He said, Nishbati v'akaimena. I mean, that may simply say, like Rav Gittel Amarav says. Rav Gittel Amarav says a very big chiddush. Normally, we have a halacha that if somebody is nishba on something that is mushba v'emet mihar Sinai, his shvua cannot be chal on another shvua, and therefore a shvua cannot be chal to have somebody be mevatel a mitzvah, or you would think to be mechayev himself on a mitzvah, because you already have that mitzvah. You're mushba v'emet mihar Sinai. Comes along Rav Gittel Amarav to say, no, it's possible to be nishba l'kayem et ha-mitzvah, even though you already were going to do that mitzvah, because that's what David HaMelech says, nishbati v'akayma l'shmor mishpatei tzidkecha. I've sworn that I am going to go ahead and keep a mitzvah. So how could that be? I mean, the truth is, there really is a machlokas about what the halacha is about that. Because the pashtus is, I mean, as Tosus explains over here, is that it's not a real shvua. And that what the person is trying to do is he wants to be maskir, what Tosus' lashon is, he wants to be maskir shem shamayim on it, so that he'll feel more powerfully. He's going to be mezariz himself, and he'll be more nishmar on it. Now, there are, however, there's the Ran, and there's the Bala Milchomas who hold that the shvua is chal even on a dvar mitzvah in this case, except there's no chiyuv of korban. So that the idea that ein shvua chal al shvua is legabi the dinim of korban. And the truth is that the Ktzai says, according to the Ramban, who agrees with the approach that we said, seems to be Rashi's approach here, Tosus's approach here, that the halacha is that it's just a way to be maskir shem shamayim, but the Ktzai's tain is that this is really a shvua that is chal, but, I mean, because otherwise, what would be the zeros? Where is the zeros if it's not adding any type of chiev? So it must be it adds a chiev. It's just that it's not included in the chiev of malchus or of karban. But a chiev there is. Meaning to the shvua, there is. And okay, I mean, the maisa, it's a very cute approach, which is from Reb Tzadok. Reb Tzadok says, because the point is that when a person is going to be over, either on an aveira, he's not going to be kayem the mitzvah, the reason that he does that is because he's more heter that he's not mushba v'yamin mehar Sinai. Isn't that right? In other words, he's convinced I'm not mushba v'yamin mehar Sinai. That's why I'm going to do the aveira. And the Avera wasn't really Machai of this case, right? Or it wasn't Machai of me. Whatever the reason is. But the point is, everybody's got some kind of rationalization. Now, the moment that he makes the Shvua, since Lushitasai, it's not Mushba v'yamin mehar Sinai, so therefore it's going to work, because he's convinced that now the Shvua will be Chal, because it wasn't Mushba v'yamin. It's very cute. Okay. Anyway, so we've got a number of different approaches over here. But anyway, that could certainly be the meaning of it. Now, we come to Shmuel from Lo Yachel Dvaro, that's the only one that you really cannot find anything wrong with. And you know, Amar Rav Yitamer Nachmar Yitzchak, of course, we had this back in Masechet Megillah as well. Haynu Da'amri Inchi, that's where the saying comes from. Tava Chadet Pilpalta Charifta, Mimalei Tzani Dekare. You know, having one really sharp pepper, that's better than a whole basket of squash or pumpkins. So this, of course, relates back to the Nyanim of, that we spoke about in Megillah, of Pilpul. Paul Paltov is a reference to Pilpul, which means that he's got another connection to there. And Kari could be a mention of Psukim, or things that don't really mean that. Okay, we talked about it in Megillah. Anyway, continues the Mishnah. The halachas of Shabbos? Shabbos? I mean, you know how much stuff there's written on Shabbos? For heaven's sakes, the first luchos, the second luchos, the discussion with Moshe Rabbeinu, the coming to, in front of the Mishkan, I mean, a million times it talks about Shabbos. What are you talking about? Shabbos, Michtav Ketivan. It's mentioned so many times. What's the Mishnah saying? It's all hanging by a hair. How could Shabbos be hanging by a hair? Everybody knows about Shabbos. Good heavens. Lo tzrichag look Rabbi Abba. 1 second. When it says it's hanging by a hair, it doesn't mean the whole sugya is hanging by the hair. It means you can find elements in Hilchos Shabbos that are central and very important and do not seem to have sufficient backing. That's what it means. It doesn't mean the whole thing is not written. It's a misunderstanding. So take a look at what Rav Abba said. Diyomar Rav Abba, HaChofer Guma B'Shabbat. Somebody digs a hole. So he's digging a hole in his house, let's say. So then he would be chayav mishum binyan, right? Or he's digging a hole in his yard. So then it would be chayav mishum charisha. So he doesn't care, actually, about the hole. Actually, he could avoid having a hole after he digs the hole. He'd be very happy with that because he doesn't really want the hole. But he does need the dirt. So, okay, we'll worry about the hole later. So halacha is that he's potter. Now, where does it say that in the Torah? Where you come up with something like that from? Wait a minute. Why is he putter? I mean, come on. Are you going specifically, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon says, you're putter, right? So, I mean, you're going to tell me that we're bringing an answer to the Mishnah, but the Mishnah only makes sense if you hold like Rabbi Shimon, that since the prime issue of the Malacha, this is the way most Rishonim learn, you'll remember that Rashi has got a very idiosyncratic approach to the idea of Malacha Shen Tzrich L'Gufa. But basically, the main way that it's taken is that Malachas have definitions as to purpose. And if you are not interested in the idea of the Malacha qua Malacha, it's just that you do the Malacha. But it's not for anything that has to do with the way that the Malacha is defined, that your potter, that's only true according to Rabbi Shimon. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're chayev, even Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. So what happened over here? Why, what are we going to do according to Rabbi Yehuda? You can't say the Mishnah only makes sense according to Rabbi Shimon, can you? No. There's a different issue over here. Afilu Temel Rabbi Yehuda. Could be going a little Rabbi Yehuda, but where it is that Rabbi Yehuda says that you're chayev for Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, that's where it actually achieves something which is a tikkun. So like we have the case, the classic case of somebody who's motzi etz hameis in order to be kaver the meis. So he takes the meis out of the house. So over there, again, Rashi's idiosyncratic approach over there is, as far as he's concerned, he'd much prefer that the guy didn't die in the first place. You know, so therefore being Isaac in this malacha is absurd for him. I mean, it's not malacha. He's being dragged into this when he doesn't want it. Okay, Tosis brings many rayas that does not define the nature of Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. But the idea over here is that it's not getting the mace where he is that's important in terms of Otsar. I just want to get the mace out of the house. We don't have two men in the house, and so on and so forth. So, but over there, that is definitely a tikkun. I mean, there's nothing, I'm not ruining anything. I'm on the way to being metaken more. I mean, ultimately, I'm going to bury the mace after Shabbos. So anyway, in this over here, what am I going to do with this hole, for heaven's sakes? So now I'm going to have to fix it. So I've wrecked something. That's different. If we're talking about ruining something, then everybody agrees that the malacha is not considered to be a creative act, because what it leaves behind is ruination, and what it is that you wanted was not the whole, which was what caused the ruin. So that is what we're saying. And that, show me where it says that. Show me where it says that in the Torah. So that's what the Mishnah is calling har, that is tolei on the Sira. Well, okay, what's the Sira, actually? That's a good point. I see it's a mountain, but I'm not quite sure I understand what it is hanging on. What is it hanging on? Oh, well, I mean, remember the idea. The idea is that the Torah defines melacha as being meleches machsheves, so that the meleches machsheves is the source of all of these issues, mekalkel, enu miskaven, to whatever extent the consciousness of the act and its connectedness to the aims of the act, the modality of the act, the professionalism of the act, all of those in Yonim have to do with Malachas Bachshevas. Now, the issue, however, is it doesn't say the word Malachas Bachshevas anywhere in the Dinim of Shabbos. The place where it talks about Malachas Bachshevas is, of course, the Mishkan, where we talk about getting these people that are able to do all of this amazing stuff, and we call it Malachas Machshavas. It's because of the connection of Shabbos and Mishkan in terms of the Dinim that we derive, but that's like a hair. I mean, it's based on the way that we understand the interrelationship of the smichas of the Malacha of Shabbos to the Mishkan. So that is what we're calling the Aronim HaTluim HaSaron over there. So definitive of the nature of Shabbos that really, I mean, I understand that there may be an awful lot of stuff in the Torah about Shabbos, the Onshin of Shabbos, but in terms of the definitions, it's still true to say that it is Aronim HaTluim HaSaron. Okay, let's take now the thing that brought us here in the second Chagiga. It's a Chagigot. Chagigot are like, they're like mountains that are hanging by a hair. I mean, I thought it said, like, isn't that the whole point? The Choguli Bamidbar, right? Shalosh Pa'amim Bashana. Then this is all Chog, Chag. Well, I mean, how do you say that it's, isn't it Michtav Ktiva? It says so, Beferish. V'chagot Semoto Chag Hashem. Wow. That's all Chagiga, right? Well, no. I'll tell you why not, because look, I still need, as Rav Papa pointed out, to Abaye. What makes you think that when it says, v'chagotem oto chag la'Hashem, that has to do with a korban chagiga? I mean, really, the words v'chagot, when you say chag, do you mean a korban chagiga, or do you mean a holiday? Because, I mean, I think people generally use the word chag as a holiday. So how do you know it doesn't mean that it's simply chogu choga. Make yourself a happy time, a holiday. Chog, after all, remembers, Tosis points out over here, yochog means to dance around, to like move around, right? Like it says, yochugu vayanu kishikor. Erev Shabbos, we say those psukim before mincha, right? Then we talk about the Tehillah, which talks about the chiev of people to give a korban teirah, and that one of the cases is where the ship is bouncing around in the water as if it's drunk in the middle of the storm. Well, yeah, that sort of defines the way people seem to act on Purim. So, I mean, maybe that's the way that the Torah is telling us is, you know, enjoy yourselves. But I mean, to say chogu means specifically to bring a korban chagiga, don't you think that's rather stretching it? I mean, excuse me, but when Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to Paro, and he's explaining to Bnei Yisrael that actually, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that you have to send out Bnei Yisrael via Chogu Liba Midbar. So what do you think that means? They should make a holiday and get drunk? Is that what it meant? Yeah, I don't know. Why not? Couldn't that be what it meant? I mean, it's just Moshe telling Paro, you got to get us out of here because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be angry at us if we don't come. No. Because remember that what Moshe says to him is, you're going to be giving us Vachim Va'olot. Okay, now what are these Vachim Va'olot for? These Vachim Va'olot mean that we are defining the so-called having fun on the holiday by korbanos. Okay? So he's got to be talking about a korban chagiga. So that's vayachogel. No, maybe just means that we need animals because what the Torah was saying is, ichlu, ushetu, have lots to eat and drink when it is that you make your holiday. V'chogu chagav kamoi. Huh? Like, it can't mean that. Take a look. V'lo yalin chelev chagi ad boker. Okay? What is that supposed to mean? The chelev of the chag. Is that referring to the holiday? A holiday is fat? No. It's when you get fat. It's not the holiday that's fat. So forget about it. So therefore, what we're talking about over here is obviously the fat of a carbon, right? So, you say what? The chag has fat? So obviously we're talking about an animal. Oh, I mean, look, I'm agreeing that we certainly have korbanos. So he's talking about olot u'zvachim. Agreed. So, I mean, therefore, maybe it just means that the chelev dilmachikam rachman, a chelev habab is man chag lo yalin, so that any of the korbanos that you're bringing, it doesn't say it has to be this new korban that we're calling a chagiga. There's no such korban. There's no such korban. The word chag does not refer to an animal. The word chag refers to the holiday. Chelev chagig means any korbanos you happen to be bringing at that time, I understand, so there are olos at that time, maybe there's nedarim v'nedavos at that time, whatever, anything that you're bringing at that time, make certain that you don't leave any of the chelev overnight. That doesn't make sense. Because, I mean, that would be saying that there's some kind of iser to leave notar only on the yantiv. That's what you're saying. You're saying, if it's the Tzman HaChag, then don't leave it over. Does that make sense? It's not a din only in Yontev. What are you saying? Only a korban that you bring during a chag. You're not allowed to leave overnight. But Kol HaShana Kulo, you are allowed to leave overnight. So then how do you explain the fact that in the Iker din of Zotorat HaOlah, it says, Beferish Kol HaLaila Ad HaBok. It has to be burnt by the boker. So then it's telling me that that's a general halacha. So that can't be so. So the word chag can't mean during the chag. It must mean of this new korban, which is called chag. That is to say, chagiga. That would be what it means. You see? Now, obviously, if we're going to say it's chagiga, you'll say, okay, so, but we have the same question. Is it only the chagiga that I'm not allowed to leave over? So couldn't I ask the same question? Are you telling me that other korbanos I'm allowed to leave over the chelev and only a chagiga I'm not allowed to leave over the chelev? That obviously is not a problem because kol ha'layla ad ha'boker tells me that all korbanos you're not allowed to leave over. The problem is that is stated in the context of the korban ha'layla. So now, if I've been drinking, if you're planning on giving me the coffee, then get it through the screen. But stop frustrating me. Man. Okay. So the idea over here would be that I would have thought, if it wouldn't have said that there's this halach of chelev chagi, I would say, says Tosfos, the only thing you have to worry about is in fact Zotorat HaOla. So any Ola that you bring, of course, you can't leave the fat over. If you're going to be Mechadesh, this new carbon called the Chag, which is the Shlomim, so then I need to know that din applies to the Chag as well. That makes sense. But if you're going to tell me that Chagiga does not refer to a carbon, it refers to the carbonas that are brought during the Chag, then that would include the Ola. And then it would be saying, don't leave the chelev of an oila if it's during the yontav, but other times you can. That's why it's ridiculous. Can't mean that. Okay, this is how Tosfos answers that problem. The Gemara is taking that for granted. So now we know that it means a chagiga. No, we still don't know that. Because, look, maybe it does mean what we said. It means chelev that was brought on a chag. Not that there's a new thing. So you're saying, okay, but it says, kol ha'layla ad ha'boker. It does, absolutely. But that is an asay, isn't it? Leave it on the mizbeach ad ha'boker. Where did it tell you, don't you dare leave it later than Arabokar. Where does it say that? That's the Lotas said. So I would still need to know that. So maybe that's what it's saying. So because imiahu avaminahu le'asei, therefore comes along lo yalin chelev chagi arabokar, which tells me that specifically during a yontev there is a new iser lav. Maybe that's what it means. But not that there is a new carbon called a chagiga where there's also the same halachas like on other carbonas. So I still don't see how you prove that chag means chagiga. What do you mean, lo lav? Well, there is a lav. It says, v'lo yalin min abasar, asher tizbach ba'erev b'yom harishon l'boker. What are you talking about? It says beferish, that when you shech the carbon together with the carbon Pesach, you can't leave it until the boker. And isn't that a lav? Well, yeah, that is a lav. But, I mean, so maybe this is adding another lav, that during the yontev, there's a general lav on any carbon. Is that possible? So there would be two lavim. V'dim lav or lav v'shnei lavim. The Asinat Tosis points out that we never do that. If we have an option to understand the pasuk as meaning something new, and the other option to say, no, it doesn't mean anything new, it's just repeating what we already know. We never say it's repeating what we already know. If yesh lilmod, if there's something that is asil drasha, then we never simply add la ve'yetere. So why all of a sudden we would be doing this? Tosfos says a very important yesod over here, which he brings from other places as well. And he says like this, that it is true that we will always do that, but only where it does not involve a creation of a completely new set of things. Now, if we never heard of the idea of chagiga, we are not going to create a new set of karbonas based on the fact that we have a mention of something that might just be a lav that is adding a lav during yontev, because it's too far-fetched. And he says, you see the same thing. He brings another example by the issue of the Shomeres Yavam Shel Aviv. So like the Gemara says, better than coming up with a new category of Anusat Aviv. So that's a totally new category. Your father rapes a woman. Now that's going to be an Isser Erva? Like, how did that happen? Normally we need to have some level of She'er in order to define the Erva. I mean, just the fact that somebody happened to have relations with someone is not a reason to create an Isser. So if we didn't have a Raya, we would always add an additional halacha of Shomer's Yavam Shel Aviv, because Shomer's Yavam is a surah, I understand. So maybe the Torah asks the Shomer's Yavam Shel Aviv, because that is a relationship defined by the Torah. But to add Anusas Aviv is a whole new set of things. So this is an important yesod, because it comes up not only here, but often when the Gemara brings up this issue of Lava Yetera. Okay, so anyway, we're stuck. There is no proof, and Rav Papa said, well, show me, like, where it says. You say that it's Harori Batuli Besar, but where does it say it? I don't see even a remez to the Chagiga. Answers the Gemara, there is. The remez is that we can learn it out from Gzeira Shava. So it says over here, Yochogu li Bamidbar. Now, you're suggesting that Yochogu li Bamidbar means have a happy time, right? Can't mean that. Why not? Because remember the pasuk where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says through Amos that, look, all the time that we just had this before, and we were talking about that Shevet Levi was the one that was going to be bringing the Eilas Tamid, remember? Even though Klal Yisrael was in a state of Nidui. So it says over there, Hazvachimu minchai gashtem li bamidbar arba'im shana. Did you bring me Zvachim u'mincha bamidbar? Oh, wow. So v'chogoli bamidbar, the word bamidbar is a reference to karbonas brought in the mud. So malahalan zvachim, afkan zvachim. Oh, so then that's a very good basis. As a matter of fact, that is too good of a basis to be called a sar. Why is that a sar? Gzeira Shava is heavy duty stuff, man. So what's a real drasha? So what's the sar? Nah, come on. You know why? It's not a real Gzeira Shava, is it? Because it's Divrei Torah, Divrei Kabbalah. Maybe we learn out something from Amos. So yes, it's a remez, but it's certainly not sufficient to take the place of the requirement for Halacha L'Beish B'Sinai that's going to be telling you that that's what it means. So Memela, it's essentially, in terms of the words that you see in the Torah, It's Harorim Atlui Masara. Okay, let's move on now to the next thing that the Mishnah mentions, which also seems to be far-fetched. Mi'ilot. Mi'ilot? That you're calling Harorim Atlui Masara? It's like a whole parsha in the Torah, right? It talks about the korban me'ila, somebody misuses hegdesh, and yikiyimo mal. I mean, why is that a sar? It's absolutely explicit. So it's michtav kativa. Answers the Gemara again. We're not saying that the whole sugya is not written. Of course, the whole sugya is written. But there's a fundamental thing about this sugya that escapes us in terms of understanding where it says it in the Torah. There's a very strange thing about Me'ilah. And that is that here, take a look at this halacha. I mean, we got this mission. Let me show it to you from the mission, and we'll try to zero in, says the Gemara, what's happening. So the Mishnah says in Me'ilah like this. Hashliach she'asah shlichuto ba'al habayit ma'al. Remember that we have this fascinating halacha that we learn out chet chet mitruma, and just like by truma, we have a raya that yesh liach lidvar avera, so too by me'ila yesh liach lidvar avera. Now remember, the meaning of yesh liach lidvar avera means that an agent stands in locum the mishaleach. So that means, normally, you know, if you tell somebody, do this avera for me, so it's his problem. Go murder so-and-so for me, you know. Who's going to be chayav on the murder, you or the shliach? The shliach is chayav on the murder. I didn't murder anybody. So in the case, however, if you tell a shliach to take money of Hegdesh and to go ahead, go to the store and buy me a beer, so then I'm going to be my own, because yei shliach ledvar aver. So he's acting as me. So shlucho shel adam kigufo. It's as if I did the taking of the money of Hegdesh and utilizing it for chulin. So the halacha is, if he does it properly, so then the balabayis will be ma'al. But if he doesn't do it properly, I mean, let's say he buys some Pabst beer. That's beer? The guy says, I never would have sent you for Pabst beer. So therefore, he would be, in that case, the shliach would be chayiv. What, that's what you call beer? So because of that, lo asah shlichuto, then the shliach would be ma'al. Now, my question is, if he does the shlichas, how do you explain the fact that the guy who sent the shliach is mayal? How can one person do an avera and another person be chayav? That's why it's called arorim atluyim b'sa'ara. What, says Rava? What a bunch of nonsense. Everybody knows the reason for that. For heaven's sakes, that's a solid limud in the Torah. Umay kusha. The Omer Shaini Me'ila, we know that Me'ila is unique because we have the gzera shava of chet, Chait mitruma, like we explained before. We learn out the whole halacha from the word chait that applies with both of them, and we know that shlucho shel adam kamoto is a special pasuk that we learn out from truma. Afkan shlucho shel adam kamoto, so it would be the same thing. Even though it's a chait, it's a chait. It's the same way that I can take off truma by sending a shliach to take off truma. I can be over on Me'ilah by sending someone to go and buy me a beer. So, that's not a problem. Sorry. I'll tell you what it means, says Rav. It certainly doesn't have anything to do with your question. That's a silly question. Here's the point. Lo nizchel adetan. You know what case of Me'ilah makes absolutely no sense? It's this halacha. Same case. The guy's on his way to the bar to buy the beer. Now, the guy who sent the shliach suddenly realizes 5 minutes after sending the shliach, oh my God, I gave him money from Hegdesh. I didn't realize it. Forget it. Huh? Let's hope he doesn't buy that beer. I cancel the shlichus. No, got to stop. His telephone is busy. Oh, come on, double beeps. Get on it, man. Too late. He goes ahead and he buys the beer. So now, what's halach over there? So if the balabayit remembered, but the shliach did not, so then the shliach is the one who's chayev on the me'ila. Ah, oh, man, that's so unfair. Shliach ania, Micah of it, what did this poor shliach do to deserve having to bring a korban me'ila? A guy asked him to buy him a beer. Next thing he knows, he's in the Beis HaMikdash bringing a korban, paying an extra knas. This is horrifying. Where do you get that kind of thing from? So that is called Aroreh Matuim B'Sara. Says Rav Ashi, I don't understand. Well, what's the matter with you? Why is that any different than normal cases of Me'ilah? Normal cases of Me'ilah are that a person makes a mistake. No, he's not aware that it's Hekdesh, but that's the normal case of Me'ilah. The guy accidentally took money and he ends up buying a beer for himself. You can ask the same question. Poor guy, what did he do? He didn't know it was Hekdesh's money. His wife had put it into the wrong wallet. So it's completely, it's not his fault, but he's chayev. So what are you saying, poor shliach? Why is it poor shliach any more than poor him? It should be exactly the same thing. So there's nothing uniquely crazy about this case of the shliach. Sorry, this doesn't do it for me.
Rebbe said Rav Ashi.
What do you mean? I said Rav Ashi because it is Rav Ashi.
And I lost the place I thought I had Rebbe. Did Rebbe skip? I went to a warp. Very nice.
Yes.
I thought we're holding by Rebbe.
A Barnea warp, a classic Barnea warp. Interesting.
I'm a Rav on my Klusha. Isn't that where we are?
Lovely. You just keep proving it. No, it's a real phenomenon. I mean, it's an amazing. If we could just figure out where you go, you know, we might get to the bottom of some real quantum issues, because you might be anywhere in the universe at that moment, right? And then when you come back, if we could figure out what the possibilities were, it might be a profoundly eye-opening experience. Do you think you could maybe keep a recorder on next time, or maybe an electroencephalogram or something?
Okay. That'll solve it.
Omer Rav Ashi. So once again, Rav Ashi tells Barnea, what's the big problem? It's just like Dilma, Midadavi Amotzi Mos Hekdesh Lechulin. Anybody takes money out. He didn't realize his wife switched the money. So what's going on? I'll tell you what is unique. Says Rav Ashi, what's unique is Lo Tzricha Elokit Etnan. Here, what are you going to do with this Mishneh Me'ilah? Okay, a guy takes a stone or he takes a roof beam of Hekdesh. So if he takes it, he was not Moel. But if he gives it to a friend, then he is Moel, but the friend is not Moel. So now, I don't understand. When he took it away from Hekdesh, Mishkal Shakla, so what's the difference? At that point, do I care if he's taking it for himself or if he gives it to a friend? The moment that he takes it, he should be chayev, right? Now, I think that that is Aroreh Matuim B'Sara. Come on. That's not a problem. You don't understand the case. Case over there was like Shmuel explained the case. It's talking in the Mishnah about a guy who is a gizbar. Now, a gizbar has the rights, actually the job. It's his job to take care of these things, let's say. He was given over these stones of the building project of Hekdesh, or these roof beams of the building project. He was asked to keep them in his yard, and that when they will be needed, as needed, he should bring them into the Beis HaMikdash. He's got the keys to the garage, and so on and so forth. That's his job. He's a gizbar. So basically, as long as it's in his rishus, then it's still in the rishus of Hekdesh, because he's been appointed and authorized by Hekdesh to be the one who is taking care of these things. In which case, kol eichad mancha b'rishus adidei mancha. So it's his. En achinami. If it weren't that case, then if it was stam a guy who took something, he picks it up from Hekdesh and he takes it into his rishus, he'd be chayev. But in this case, the guy does not change the rishus by picking it up, because the halacha is that it's always in Hekdesh's rishus, since he is an agent of Hekdesh. That's all. So it's saying that the moment that he gives it to somebody else, at that moment he's already taken out of the rishus of Hekdesh, and therefore he would be Me'il, since the halacha is that the moment of Me'ilah is Mechalel, what it is that was Hekdesh, so therefore the friend is not going to be Me'il. So makes perfectly good sense. And we're making big thing of a case that any child understands. Let's move on. Okay, says the Gemara, all right, fine. So let's take the seifa of that Mishnah, okay? Then I'll show you got a problem that really makes sense according to Rav Ashi. If I don't give it away, I'm the agent of Hekdesh, yes, I don't give it away to a friend, and instead I build it into my home. If I build it into my home, I mean, I am making changes in it, right? I'm cutting it to size. I'm screwing it in. It's now becoming part of something else. That's called a shinoi. The halacha is that a ganav is kind of a shinoi. So over here, I basically should at that point be chayev. And yet, what does it say? There's no me'ila until he actually lives in that house, under that piece, for an amount that would be worth a shava pruta, because that's the minimum amount of me'ila. So therefore, it's the utilization rather than the taking. Now, how do you explain that? Michter. Shanuya shanya. He did a shinoi. So at that point, he cements it into the wall. So then he's chayev. Who cares whether he lives there or not? Mali dar, mali lo dar. So that, I'm telling you, you go explain that to me and where that comes from. That is hararima tuim besara. Nope. Because the explanation like that is according to Rav. My kusha. Rav explained it very clearly. Dilma kirav. The Omar Rav. Somebody, this guy, who is entrusted with these things from Hegdash. So now he's got a little bit of a problem. He's got a roof with a window in it. It's called an aruba. The window is leaking in the rain. So he says, okay, fine. I'll take this big beam, put it on my roof, so that at least the rain won't get through. I will not change it in any way, won't do anything to it. Okay, was he moel? No. Why not? Because he's entrusted with it anyway. He could put it where he wants. If he wants to put it on his roof instead of in the yard, nobody told him he's not allowed to put it on his roof. But now, if he goes into the house and lives under it, the clock starts ticking. Price of rental under roofs that have been fixed by Hegdash, that is, it's getting very close. It's now an hour. An hour of rental is one pruta being at that point. He is chayav me'ila. See? Okay, so that's the case. Very simple. Kegon shenicha pi arubai, he lifted, put it on his roof. Only idar bein, ilo dar beilo. You still haven't given me a case, which is a problem. Every single case you've given me makes tremendous sense with all of the halachas that we know. Says the Gemara, you know what? I like the way we did it the first time, okay? Lo'olam kid a rava. Rava was 100% right. It's the case of the shliach. And the poor shliach, what's it his fault? Just because the guy who sent him remembered, so now because he remembers, now I got to pay the bill. Does this make sense? So you said, well, why not? It always makes sense. I mean, as much as the din of me'ila makes sense, which is always defined as a shogeg, so this shliach is a shogeg. No, because the kakashalach, it's the same as anybody else, it is not. I'll tell you why it's not. Because the case of the shliach is much more similar to a case of ones, where he has zero awareness that there was anything to even think about. Normally, when we talk about being motzi money of hegdash to the store, when you go to the store and you buy a beer, I mean, that is a case where you knew that you should have been careful. I mean, I understand, like, you're thinking, what is the possibility? I had this in the safe, you know. So I'm supposed to think that my wife opened the safe and she took it out and she put it in the wallet. Well, why not? I mean, I understand it's obviously not amazing, but it is a shogeg. But the shliach, like, what's the poor shliach supposed to do? I understand. I mean, not supposed to touch any money anytime because maybe somebody put money over there that belongs to Hegdash. That's crazy. So Hocha, over there, Ibai Leleyuna, he should have been more careful and look exactly at what he's doing. But Hocha Miada, the Shliach doesn't know that there was Hegdash in this guy's Rishus. That is Harari Matuyim Besara. That is, in fact, how do you know that it's the same? It's an awfully loose kind of same, isn't it? To say something that is Korav La'ones should be the equivalent of shogeg. So this normally would be called an ones. You show me the Ramazim in the Torah that teaches that. That's why it says it's Harari Matlim Mizarah.